Welcome, everybody, to another live recording of the Business Travel 360 Linking the Travel Industry podcast, where we discuss travel industry news you're talking about on LinkedIn. My name is Rian, and I'm one of your hosts today. I am the CEO at Agentivity, where we have a vision that any TMC should be data empowered. You can read about just how we make that possible at agentivity.com.
And I'm Anne. Welcome, everybody. I'm a consultant with LeapShift, happy to help you with anything related to retailing, NDC, one order, and distribution. I also work as an instructor with both IATA and Aeroclass.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ash, and I'm the host of a weekly business travel podcast called What's Up in Business Travel, where we give you the important updates in under 15 minutes. Additionally, I'm the vice president at Traxo, and this is Linking the Travel Industry.
So thank you for the new faces we see in the audience. It's great to see the audience growing every week, and also for the familiar faces. Welcome back. Thank you for giving us your time. The format of our discussion today evolves around a post I do on a weekly basis where I rounded up the news. Last week was week 9. I started the list there with a story around Spain planning to ban short-haul flights, following in the footsteps of France. And I saw this on a post by someone which was quite critical of it. Very interesting post there. And I don't know whether you had a chance to read it, but I'd be keen to hear your thoughts on it.
It is really strange because international departure airports are excluded. So to me, it makes absolutely no sense, sort of, in a way. I don't understand it quite. So Spain is largely focused around Madrid and Barcelona, and they will be excluded from this.
Yeah, there's so many exclusions there. People were saying this is going to make absolutely no impact, but just cause a lot of red tape.
No, it's not going to impact whatsoever.
Yeah. Now, staying in your part of the world, Ash, I'd love to hear what you think about this, because JetBlue and American recently announced price increases for baggage, which I know you're a fan of, and then United went ahead and did the same. So there's, you know, substantial increases there for consumers. Justified or just following the trend?
It's the price of business, and they're increasing the cost because everything is increasing across the board. So why not a baggage fee?
Okay. But then, you know, speaking about the cost of business, my next story was really quite sad for me as a pet owner and a lover of pets. The news that IAG Cargo, who is one of the largest providers of pet transportation globally, they've announced a massive 400% increase in their costs as of the 1st of March. And I had two links to two stories there, and they talk a lot about military service people who transport pets, you know, with them, and people are having to make some very tough decisions now about, or not being able to afford, you know, transporting their pets. Very, very sad story. And I'm sure this was sad for you to read as well.
Very sad. I was just shocked. I mean, $8,000? Talk about. It was really heartbreaking to read. I agree.
There's some good news. I mean, the growth at Air India is impressive. They've announced some fairly substantial North American expansions to Dallas, Los Angeles, and Seattle coming soon. I'm sure you are impressed by that, Ash. About time for them to be announcing these, right?
You know, it's interesting because I've had a lot of people that have been flying Air India recently that I know, and they're coming back to me with rave reviews of Air India, actually. So this is quite impressive for me, because as somebody who has flown Air India when I was 7 years old and never flew it again after that, to this day, it's one of those airlines that I've never really been a fan of and always talked very negatively about. But as we know from the purchase of Air India from the government and privatization of it, and of course all the changes that have come forth thereafter, there's been a dramatic change. And so I'm very, very excited about Air India. My only fear for Air India at this point right now is not their ability to be successful, but whether they may be trying to be successful too quickly. But I would say just be careful about how quickly you expand, because sometimes service levels start deteriorating if that happens too quickly.
But to put your mind at ease, Anne and I, maybe you know him as well, you know, they're in good hands, because one of the people they've employed to help them with increasing their customer service levels is our friend Vimal Ray, right, out of Singapore. And I've been seeing his post where he talks about how he's been training that staff, and then he actually bumped into some of that same staff on one of his flights back to Singapore, which was amazing. I think they're in good hands, Ash, but I hear you. And before we ask Mohit for his comments on Air India, any comments?
I've actually seen lots of comments about Air India in different frequent flyer forums, you know, on social media, etc. And also the same as Ash, lots of great reviews and positive feedback. And same here. I wouldn't have chosen Air India in the past ever. So very curious about them.
Wahid, what are your thoughts on the Air India expansion?
Hi, good evening, guys. Yes, absolutely. And I can see, you know, I said it last time we were talking about this, I think last year on the same show, whatever Tata touches in India, you know, turns into gold. I think the bigger plan is clear here for Air India to provide non-stop services to many long-haul destinations in EMEA and Americas as possible. While the local population, it really makes sense to fly non-stop. The emerging trend, you know, over here is people from Asia are also planning to go via India to all of these, you know, destinations. So that is something that very interesting. And only time will tell, you know, if this strategy works out.
To me, that's fascinating to think of India as a connection hub. I've never looked at India with those eyes, but clearly, you know, they would need some expansion of airport to take on that capacity. What a great idea that is.
All these capacity, Ash, as you were mentioning, was always with the Middle East and, you know, some carriers in Asia, but I think the trends are turning now.
Great. I just wish they would join Oneworld and leave Star Alliance behind.
And in the news next week, Air India joins Oneworld. No, I don't know. Maybe they are listening to us, Ash, you never know. But yeah, I agree with you. That would be a good move for them indeed. The new OTA partner of the week for Ryanair last week was announced as On the Beach, just as they finished that momentous litigation against them and won, you know, a court order against them. So very interesting there, right, Mohit?
Absolutely. I think it's been about 4 or 5 weeks strong. You know, Ryanair is not going off our list. Maybe we'll jinx them this time. As I mentioned last time also, we spoke on this. The trend is definitely to prefer selling their airline inventory on holiday packages side rather than a standalone. And, you know, the price inventory they are able to negotiate is, you know, setting up nicely for some profitable upcoming quarters. So, which makes me think who's next. You know, I would predict a big one already is under discussion. Maybe say eDreams, eTraveler, or maybe even a giant like Booking. Let's play bets today.
Yeah, that could turn into a nice game show. And did you expect that from them On the Beach?
I did, yeah. Oh. Yes, well, I've been expecting this move by Ryanair at some point. Like I said, they want to control who they sell to and they want those agreements in place.
Just want to take a moment to turn to our audience to once again say thank you so much for giving us your time on a Monday. We're not done yet. We're just halfway through. But I just want to say thank you for giving us your time. It's fantastic to see the audience grow each week and we're gaining some new faces and attendees every week. And the purpose of Linking the Travel Industry is exactly what it says on the tin. We really want you to be connected to as many of your industry peers as possible. So if you haven't gone through the list of attendees yet, please do so and see if you can connect to as many of them as you can and accept as many requests as you can as well. We really appreciate that. Also, we do select a link of the week. And I'm happy to say this week, my selected link of the week is Michael Carter. Michael, you've recently launched a very interesting thing, Mars Bars and Paws, which I like the sound of. Thank you for being a very regular listener. Really appreciate that. And for all your comments on some of my posts. For those in the audience not connected to Michael Carter, I would suggest you reach out and connect to him. Fantastic guy to be connected to. So, Michael, thank you for your support and good luck with Mars Bars and Paws. Thank you very much. Now back to the stories. Another week, another acquisition for the UK-based agency TAG, who operates in the entertainment industry. They've expanded once again with another acquisition in Australia, Apex Travel. I saw the post, was all nicely done, really establishing a very global footprint here. This is not their first acquisition in Australia, so they're growing their business there as a whole. Very nice to see. I love a, you know, niche-focused agency doing well. I know, and so do you, but hats off to TAG, right, for doing another acquisition.
Absolutely. Hats off to them. Really impressed by them. I actually met them for the first time in London, you know, a few weeks ago, and very impressive.
What's good with TAG and with Grey Doors is they are obviously purchasing in agencies who are also in that specific niche that they are in. So very focused. From our experience, because both of these guys are customers of my business as well, there's a lot of retention of that business and their brand and their people, which is, you know, very nice to see as well. All over very good. Story on my list was just an interesting piece of PR, and Ash, I'm sure from my comments you would have been very proud of me unraveling and going through the marketing there. But there was a big announcement. Sabre Corporation is teaming up with Atris, and effectively this is a Sabre-powered booking tool fronted by Atris. And they've made a lot of news about this. There was a slight confusion as to the content here, but it was interesting my view on this. And I'd like to hear if you agree, but I look at this as Sabre taking a little bit of control back into what's happening with the offerings in the online space, because as I said in my comments, I'm quite sure there's a fair amount of limitation by Sabre on what Atris can offer there in an airline direct offering in that relationship. Would you agree?
I would agree with you, absolutely. As we always see with the GDSs, right, that there is a great deal of control involved. I mean, I don't see this really as that different from the NDCX being offered in various channels.
Yeah.
Or am I missing the point?
No, I think that's exactly it. Absolutely. Mohit, I see you agree there. You have a comment, do let us know.
I think there's been a major shift on how GDSs used to communicate the NDC partnership pre and post pandemic. So I think it's a good development for both, but nothing really changes as Anne was pointed out.
Yeah, I actually dug into this a little bit because I wanted to know what the background of this whole relationship was and why they were doing this and was there anything different and valuable. So the thing I took away from it is, of course, Atris is both agent tool as well as a corporate booking tool. I think the benefit here is on the corporate booking tool side with the NDC content coming in versus some of the other OBTs that don't have that. So for Atris, I think this is a good move. And for Sabre, it's a way for them to be able to illustrate the benefits of tapping into their APIs.
Yeah, absolutely. Except the NDC content in that offering is going to be limited to what flows through Sabre, right?
Yes. Cool. But it doesn't have to be, though.
Well, it doesn't have to be, but we kind of imagine that's what it is, right? So we couldn't get a comment out of either. So
yeah, there we go. Point.
Okay, so those were the stories on my list. If there's any time left, I do have an interesting extra story, but we can come back to that. Anne, are there any extra stories from your side?
Yes, actually a couple. Well, first of all, I want to say that ITA, Italian airline, they've actually bought their first aircraft, the first aircraft purchase. I thought, you know, we haven't spoken about them in such a long time.
God forbid we don't talk about them.
And then actually a very interesting read was Bernard Marr, a super interesting article on Walmart and how they're using AI. And it was a great read. I really enjoyed that and how innovative they are in predicting customer behavior. So that's something I can recommend. And also, Azar Lakhdawala, he also posted, he's a great guy to follow. He's a revenue management guy, Azar, that I've known for many years. And he posted an article that I thought was the first one that really made sense to me as to the failed Canadian aviation and, you know, why it is the way it is. And this was published by The Conversation. So those are the sort of two LinkedIn posts that caught my attention.
Wow. Thank you very much. Ash, any extra stories from your side?
I do. I have a feel-good story. So last week, Marriott announced that they had the 200 millionth person joined their loyalty program. I love how they're able to identify exactly who it was. They said there's a guy whose first name is Nino who signed up for the program at the JW Marriott Marquis in Hotel Dubai. That was their 200 millionth member.
That's a big number, really. That is impressive.
And then I also have some... Okay, so last night was a launch by SpaceX and NASA. I actually stayed up for this one, launched close to midnight Eastern time here. But this was a manned launch, a crew of four that went to the ISS on the Dragon spacecraft. So really, really awesome launch. What makes this launch significant is because this is actually in total 53 people. And this the 50th person was launched with SpaceX on this crew mission. So over a five-year period, SpaceX now has launched 50 people to the ISS and other events that they've had. So quite a significant moment for NASA and SpaceX.
Sounds so crazy to be talking about this, right? They've sent more than 50 people up to the space station just like that. I mean, it's insane to think that that's happened.
And remember that they launched during the height of the pandemic during the summer of 2020. So that in itself was an achievement. But then to continue that on until all this time is quite amazing. It's remarkable when you listen to the launch, you know, they'll say at the end of the launch from the ground control, they'll say, thank you for flying SpaceX, almost like you're listening to the pilot on a plane, you know, so wow. It was incredible.
Very nice. Yeah. Look, from my side, I just want to congratulate Turkish Airlines on making history by touching down in Australia with its inaugural flight. They landed there on Saturday night and the return flight took off as well that evening. So something like their 346th destination, which is insane, really incredible. There's a lot of posts about, you know, whether Qantas should have rather let Qatar in than Turkish because, you know, they may have underestimated the potential there with Turkey. But feel good story there with Turkish Airlines. Well done for them for doing that. And Anne, I think you'll find this one funny. There was a post by our friends at Qantas hailing this major innovation that they've come up with on their NDC portal. And drumroll, they're calling it the price guarantee ticketing time limit.
Oh, you have to do. You have to send me that post. Yes, I missed that.
So that was good. And, you know, just because it is a Monday, I think we have a little bit of time for some stats. Now, Mohit, don't panic. This is not a crazy quiz. This is just about a post I saw where they did a poll on the most annoying things your fellow passengers do on flights. And so I've got 10 of them. And Mohit, Ash and Anne, tell me what is annoying you the most about your fellow passengers on planes.
When they take their shoes off.
Yeah, there we go. Number 6 on the list.
How about snoring?
Yes, loud snoring or drooling when they snore next to you, that sort of thing. That was on the list, absolutely. And Ash?
When they pull the window shade down.
Ah, that's not on the list. Strangely enough. That's only your problem. The number one problem, though, interestingly, was people saying, and this is obviously a sign of the times, is people coming on board with an obvious cough or a cold and not doing much to prevent that from spreading. So, you know, not putting a mask on and that sort of stuff. So I thought that was an interesting one. I don't think that would have been the top one a few years ago. Okay, cool. So I think those were the stories from all of us, right? There we go. That's a wrap for the week. So, Mohit, thank you so much for your contribution. Well done to Michael Carter for being our Lingo of the Week. And over to you, Anne.
Thank you, everyone. And shout out to Michael Carter.
Thank you all for joining today's live recording of Linking the Travel Industry. We record this podcast live every week on Monday, and it is about linking the travel industry. Please do share this event with others that you know. Chances are high that if you enjoyed today's session, others that you know will as well. You can listen to the session as a podcast on businesstravel360.com. This is Linking the Travel Industry, signing off.